Sam of persons. Viragaha. Renunciation. Syat is possible. Tvaya by you. Kevalena Mrisha. Possessing knowledge falsely. Manyase. You think. Yade. If. Upashamam. Renunciation of material enjoyment. Sneha Pasha. The bonds of affection. Nikrintanam. Cutting. Translation, Prajapati Daksha continued. If you think that simply awakening the sense of renunciation will detach one from the material world, I must say that unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing dresses as you have done cannot possibly bring detachment. Okay? So you can repeat, Prajapati Daksha continued.
Prajapati Daksha continued.
If you think that simply awakening,
the sense of renunciation,
will detach one from the material world,
I must say that,
unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing dresses, as you have done,
Cannot possibly bring detachment.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Prajapati Daksha was correct in stating that changing one's dress cannot detach one from this material world. The sannyasis of Kali Yuga who change their robes from white to saffron and then think they can do whatever they like are more abominable than materialistic grahasthas. This is not recommended anywhere. Prajapati Daksha was right in pointing out this defect, but he did not know that Narada Muni had aroused the spirit of renunciation in the Hariyashvas and Savalashvas through full knowledge. Such enlightened renunciation is desirable. One should enter the renounced order with full knowledge, jnana vairagya. For the perfection of life is possible for one who renounces this material world in that way. This elevated stage can be reached very easily, as supported by the statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Yanam Cha Yod Ahoitukam. Does someone have any tissues? You have a few tissues. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Thank you. If one seriously engages in devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, jnana and vairagya are automatically manifest in one's person. There is no doubt about this. Oh, not used. Prajapati Daksha's accusation that Narada had not actually elevated his sons to the platform of knowledge was not factual. All the sons of Prajapati Daksha had first been raised to the platform of jnana and had then automatically renounced this world. In summary, unless one's knowledge is awakened, renunciation cannot take place, for without elevated knowledge, one cannot give up attachment for material enjoyment. So, nittam pumsam viragasyat vaya kevalinam rasha manyase yad yupashamam sneha pasha nikrintanam. So, omagana timirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur and miditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So, although Daksha was absolutely correct in his statement, the implicit meaning of his statement was different than the explicit meaning. Does everyone know the difference between explicit and implicit? No. Explicit means what apparently is there. Implicit is what one is implying. You know what the word implying means? That means underneath the surface, reading between the lines what he is saying. Basically, what he is saying here is that one has to be old before they can renounce. And his sons were young. The two groups of sons, the Haryashvas and Savalashas, were quite young. And in one sense, he's even right about the implicit meaning, that you really have to not be old in age, because oldness and age does not really give you renunciation either, as the proof proved by the story that Prabhupada told. He said, once upon a time, there was a king, and there was a sage, and the king said to the sage, how long does material attachment or lust last in the heart of a conditioned soul? So the sage, instead of answering him directly, took him to a hospital. And in this hospital, there was like a 95-year-old man who was getting ready to croak. Everybody knows what the word croak means? Getting ready to die. You know, he had tubes in his arms, and he was breathing, you know, this the breathing apparatus up the nose, and he was in extreme pain. And the king was advised by the sage to bring his young, beautiful daughter at the same time to the hospital. So, here was the sage, the king, and this young, beautiful girl. So they all walked into the hospital room. And you would think someone's getting ready to die, they would simply say to the sage, oh please, save me, tell me about Krishna, help me in this desperate condition of life. But immediately this old man looked at the young girl and basically said, wow. Whether he actually said it or meant it, that's another thing. But in any case, the king could understand that lust lasts. It's not really that much connected with the body, although it's manifested through the body, but it's actually connected with the subtle body. Because the subtle body is the body of desires. That's called linga shavira. So whatever desires you have, those desires continue no matter what the state of your gross body is, which is really interesting. And not only that, they continue to your next gross body. Like if you have some really intense desire, let's say we were talking to some children the other day, we mentioned this last night, and the children had a desire for an Xbox. So when they're born in the next life, let's say they die prematurely, that'll be the desire they'll be born with for an Xbox or whatever. So as Krishna says in the Gita, that one carries the conceptions of life from one lifetime to another, one body to another, just like the air carries aromas. So you don't really get rid of lust by getting old. That's really important. You may not be able to express it. You may not be aware of it. Like when you're sleeping, you're not aware of how attached you are to the material world. Or if you're intoxicated, you may not be aware either. But it's there in the heart. So the whole point is not that one gets old, but one must be experienced in spiritual knowledge, which in many cases does come with many years of practicing Krishna consciousness. This is a fact. So there is some connection with the amount of time you're practicing Krishna consciousness, or how many years you've been practicing spiritual life, and how detached you are from this material world. And there is also some danger in being young too, because there's a lot of passion in the body when one's young. One has to be much more alert. And also one is more attractive when they're young. I mean, I'll give you a practical story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this. Once upon a time, as all stories start, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in contact with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great personality. In fact, he's considered to be the incarnation of Brihaspati. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only 24 years old. That's pretty young, isn't it? And just like we've had people take sannyas at 24 in our movement and haven't done too well, many of them. So he was 24 years old, and he was a lot more handsome than anybody in the Hare Krishna movement. Because he's God. I mean, God is, has all these qualities, you know, the six qualities, opulences, more attractive and everything like that. He would make us look like, I mean, insignificant frogs or whatever in comparison. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very worried about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being so young and attractive and being a sannyasi at the same time. So he wanted to help him. Of course, the way he wanted to help him was to give him more knowledge and actually even reinitiate him, which was not a good idea, reinitiation. Because Lord Chaitanya had been initiated by Keshava Bharti, and his sampradaya was considered a lower sampradaya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to initiate him in a higher sampradaya and instruct him in Vedanta so he would gain a sense of renunciation of this world and be protected, because he was such an attractive personality. So of course Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's offer. He said, no, it's not necessary. So, but that indicates, that shows that, you know, with youth there is more danger. There is more danger. However, if someone is realized in Krishna consciousness, even if they're youthful, they can be renounced. But one has to be very, very careful. And in the Vedic literatures, there's so many stories about people who want to renounce this world. And what happens is the demigods, they try to create allurements so that this person who is so determined to renounce this material world won't be able to continue in his stage of renunciation. I mean, even the demigods did this with Narayan Rishis, and that's God and Arjuna in the previous appearance, before they appeared in the battle of Kurukshetra, as Krishna and Arjuna. So Krishna and Arjuna were there, Narayan Rishis, and they were meditating in Bhadarika Ashram. And Indra, the reason Indra does that, or the demigods do that, is because they're thinking that people are engaged in austerities in order to take over their position. So Indra, what he did is he called for some apsaras, and he also called for Cupid. Cupid actually exists. Do you have Valentine's Day here? What day is it? 14th of February. See, it's good I don't know. So, better I come on some safe day like Father's Day or something like that. So, Valentine's Day. So, there's actually a Cupid, and he's called Ananga, which means he's invisible. And he actually has bow and an arrow. Arrows. Five arrows. You know, form, taste, smell, touch, sight, you know, all those things. And when you're least expecting, he takes his bow and his arrows and he shoots you. Ooh. And you're in love. And the scientists, even the scientists say that when one is in love, the brain scan is like someone who is snorting cocaine. That's not my opinion. It's exactly the same brain scan. So anyway, so you didn't know this? Now you know. So that's why in India, in the Vedic system, they have these arranged marriages, because usually when people fall in love, they fall in love with the wrong person, which is a mistake. So anyway, so Cupid went along with, oh, was it springtime, personified springtime, and some apsaras, and they started to dance in front of these two personalities, Narayan Rishis. And Narayan Rishi, of course, that's God and or Krishna and Arjuna, they didn't get attracted at all. What they did is basically yawned. Yawned? Yeah. They weren't very interested. And they said to the demigods, if you want someone beautiful, we can create someone even more beautiful. And they created this apsara named Urvasi. And they said to Indra, you can take her back with you if you want. So So anyway, so the demigods do try to deviate people who are determined to be renounced. And what to speak of the demigods, I mean, nowadays in the Western world, and even in India, I mean, obviously, everywhere in the world, the media is focused on destroying people's renunciation. Like Prabhupada commented that thousands of years ago, there was a Jamil, and a Jamil was engaged in, he was a nice Brahmin, but he became disturbed just by seeing a Shudra and a Shudrani embracing. So Prabhupada said, it's all over the place now. And it is, practically. I mean, you go to India, and you see even on the walls of the temple sometimes they have these Bollywood movie posters showing the Shudras and the Shudranis embracing. So it's even more dangerous nowadays than it was when Ajamil was present thousands of years ago. And then, so anyway, so there's so many stories about people succumbing to this lust. So, and it, there's no guarantee that if we're old we won't succumb to it. So what do we actually have to do to avoid succumbing to Krishna's illusory potency? And not only for those in the renounced order of life, but for all the devotees. I mean, it's not only that we got to worry about the sannyasis, but every devotee should worry, because Maya is very strong, and as Srila Prabhupada said, we Western boys and girls, because I'm not a boy anymore, but those of you are Western boys and girls, even if you're 80 years old, you're not enough afraid of Maya. And we've seen people in the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, take so many vows, take sannyas, you know, men, women, and they succumb to Krishna's illusory energy. Why is this? Didn't they get sufficient knowledge? You know, what we see so many people took sannyas. They left the orders of sannyas. So why is this? I mean, weren't we getting instruction from Krishna's greatest devotee, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was certainly as qualified as Narada Muni, who instructed the Savalashas and Hayashvas. Well, the reason is, there's several reasons why we succumb to the illusory energy of the Lord. We've gotten the knowledge, but we're not careful enough, and we allow anarthas to develop in our hearts. So if we analyze anybody who's deviated from Krishna consciousness, we can actually see why they deviated from Krishna consciousness. And so let's talk about anarthas, first of all. That's one of the reasons we deviate. Anartha means unwanted things, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, all those things. So where do anarthas come from? Anarthas come from sinful activity, pious activity, offenses against Vaishnavas, and also from bhakti itself, a byproduct of bhakti. You know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about this. So, in most cases, the devotees aren't sinful, so they don't come from that. In most cases, the devotees don't do mundane charity, so usually that's not a problem for devotees. But offenses are a big one. Like, if you offend devotees, you lose your taste for Krishna Katha, you lose your taste for Krishna consciousness, and as a result, the material world becomes very attractive. Because the only way we're able to maintain our taste is not just jnana, but raso varjam rasyo pyasa param jistra nivartate, having a higher pleasure. Like, what is it? Goranga valite havi pulaka sharir. That when we chant Krishna's names, we feel some happiness. Of course, if you're really advanced, the hairs stand on end when you chant Krishna's names or Lord Chaitanya's name. Just like last night, we had nice Gaura Aarti for the deities, and it was very nice, very pleasurable. But if you commit offenses against Vaishnavas, then you don't experience so much pleasure, or you don't experience any pleasure. That's the problem. So Just like when we joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we were experiencing sometimes more happiness than we're experiencing now after 40 years in the movement. Why is that? Because before we joined, we never committed offenses because we weren't in contact with Vaishnavas. And then after we join, we get the opportunity to offend Vaishnavas. One of the many opportunities we get in the Hare Krishna movement. Because you know, we're surrounded by Vaishnavas, and then we're thinking in our mind, oh, why is he eating too much? He or she is stupid. You know, I don't like you. You know, anyway, all these things come out. So therefore, our taste diminishes. And then the material world, at the same time, becomes more attractive. So these are offenses. Offenses against the holy Dham. I mean, we go to Vrindavan, and then we offend the residents of Vrindavan. We offend the holy Dham. We take it as a material place. Or offenses against the deities. So these things diminish our taste and diminish our renunciation or attachment to Krishna, because you have to be attached to something. That's the point about renunciation. You can't be just renounced. You have to be attached to something positive. You can't, as I've said many times before, you can't do the don't. If you say to someone, be detached, does that ever work? I mean, many years ago I was a brahmacharya and I was a temple commander, temple president, whatever. And I would say to the devotees, be detached. You're too attached to this material world. Does it ever make them detached? It just made them angry at me. Not detached. It just didn't work like that. So you have to give people something to be attached to. Like one of the things, like sometimes people are very attached to their tongue and they eat too much and they get a little heavy. And you say to them, lose some weight, eat less. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. You have to give them some goal or some objective or some purpose. And then people can do so many things. Like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a Kshatriya by nature. And he was able to exhibit so much detachment, much more than any of us. I mean, just basically in the beginning, just eating berries every 3 days, then eating leaves every 6 days, and then drinking water every 9 days, and then breathing every 12 days, and then after that giving up the breathing, because he had a purpose. So it wasn't that he just concentrated on the negative, he concentrated on the positive. If you concentrate on the positive, you can do amazing things. But if you concentrate on the negative, you won't accomplish anything. You'll simply be thinking of the negative more and more and more and become more and more attached to it. Jayato Vishayatam Samasanavastesha Vijayate. You concentrate on what you're trying to give up and you'll become more attached to it. That's a big problem. So you have to concentrate on some goal in life. Goal-oriented or orientation. And then you can be very renounced from this material world. So we talked about offenses. And then I just want to mention byproducts of bhakti, because one of the reasons we see people deviate in Krishna consciousness is that they, after performing devotional service for many years, you get a position, you get respect, and then after that you become proud, and pride comes before the fall. So these are anarthas. That's one reason why we deviate. Another reason why we deviate is that we don't associate with devotees. In my position, I examine sometimes why different people fall down. Even, you know, we have leaders who have fallen down from the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So I examine this also. It's part of my service to investigate and find out what happens with people who deviate. And invariably, it's that they didn't have close association with other Vaishnavas. They didn't have friendship with other Vaishnavas. I mean, close friendship with it. They were by themselves, either traveling by themselves all the time or not having close friends. And as a result, there was none of this, what, dadati pratigranati guyam akyati prichati. None of this revealing the mind in confidence and helping others and being helped by the association. Like Prabhupada said, we are like sticks, and if you put sticks together, they can't be broken. If you put one stick by itself, it can easily be broken. So we see that, you know, someone becomes very aloof from others' association. I mean, right now in the GBC, for example, we're starting to have this system of buddy system. We're talking about that, isn't it? I'm sure you're aware of that. And, you know, team building and all these other things, you know, interacting more with Vaishnavas. So it's a very dangerous sign when we see someone who is just by themselves and not having any close friends in Krishna consciousness. I mean, let's give the example, not in the movement, I don't want to give any movement examples because that's not appropriate. But Bharat Maharaj, let's give his example. Okay, Bharat Maharaj was an extremely qualified person. Everybody knows Bharat Maharaj? Not knows, but knows of him. So Bharat Maharaj's father was Lord Rishabhadev. And he was so renounced that he gave up his kingdom, his family, everything, just like one gives up. Does anyone know the example? Yeah, one gives up what? Stool after evacuating. I mean, Prabhupada said, usually you should go in and out of the bathroom and get out of there as quickly as possible. But unfortunately, we're in the material world and we don't want to get out as quickly as possible, although this is Krishna's bathroom. Anyway, so... Why? Because all the things in the bathroom usually are rejected items. So we've been rejected from the spiritual world, right? Flushed down the proverbial toilet. So getting back to the point. So he renounced everything. He was just super enthusiastic. And he was there. He had a bona fide spiritual master too. And he hadn't committed any offenses. And he was there chanting his mantras and everything like that. And along comes, you know, deer who gives birth to a baby deer. And he gets attached. And as a result, he had to take birth as a deer in his next life, because yam yam vapi smaram bhavam yajatayanti kalevaram. So he got attached to a deer. But he was, the main point I make in regard to this story is that he had no association. Like if I was next to Bharat Maharaj, I would have said, Maharaj, you're in Maya. I mean, stop kissing this deer. Wouldn't you say that? What are you kissing the deer when you're trying to say your Gayatri mantra for? But he was doing that. He was saying his Gayatri mantra and go to the deer, you know, petting the deer. Can you imagine that? The kids like it. No, that's all right. At least they're enjoying class. So then there was no association. So it's very important for us to continually keep the association of devotees. It's not just that we have our sense of renunciation and knowledge awakened once, but as just to summarize what I said, because it says here, 8:15 class ends, we have to maintain our association with devotees. We have to avoid offenses. We have to cultivate knowledge here in chant on a regular basis, have strict sadhana, and then we'll be safe and secure from deviating, whether we're sannyasis or grahasthas or brahmacharis or whatever. We'll be safe. And so, anyway, as far as the Hariyasva and the Savalashas, they had each other's association. And they had Narada Muni's instructions. And Daksha, he's just agitated because he wanted to enjoy his grandchildren. You know, he wanted them to get married because they're Prajapatis. Daksha's business is his Prajapati business. That means to have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, populate the universe. So Daksha was thinking, how can I enjoy these children if they simply take sannyas? Actually, even Srila Vyasadeva was thinking like that when Shukadeva Goswami was born. Shukadeva Goswami was born after 16 years. 16 years in his mother's womb. Quite a pregnancy. And then After hearing Bhagavatam, he ran out, and his father was running after him. Vyasadev was running after him. Come back, come back. Oh, my son, oh, my son. And it's described in the Bhagavatam that only the trees and the mountains echoed his plaintive cry. And so he was running. And Shukadeva Goswami, just to pacify him, used his mystic power to create an imitation son, imitation Shukadeva, and so his father could take back someone and enjoy life. So the point is that Daksha here, he really wanted to enjoy. He wasn't thinking of doing service. If you're thinking of doing service, even if the results don't come out exactly the way you wanted them to, you don't get angry and frustrated because you're not trying to enjoy the results, which is an important point that Krishna makes in the Gita. But we have a right to our service, our duty, but we don't have a right to the results, right? So Daksha was attached to the results. He had a bona fide service. His service was given to him by Krishna because he had previously seen Krishna, Lord Narayan. But he was attached to the results. And therefore he got angry at this great devotee, Narada Muni, cursed Narada Muni, which Narada Muni enjoyed, which we'll hear about later on. Anyway, I'm not going to speak about that, and committed an offense against Narada Muni. And then, you know, Daksha, because of his attachment, even at one juncture, he lost his head. Literally. Not just figuratively. And he got a goat's head instead. But that's another story. So any questions or comments about anything I said? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, when we see our anarthas come out, we should become happy. Because it gives us a challenge. That's a devotee. Prabhupada said he wants devotees with a mentality of fighters. Prabhupada said one time, and this is in regard to preaching, he says we don't want a sit down type of devotee, you know, people just sit down, but we want fighters like Arjuna. And so it gives us a challenge. When anarthas come up, we should think we have this challenge to conquer over it. And in order to do that, we have to be very much goal oriented. If you're focused on your goal, ekekha kurunandana, of pleasing Krishna, pleasing Prabhupada, becoming Krishna conscious, then you can actually take it as a challenge, like a kshatriya takes a challenge. So, any other questions or comments? Thank you for your comment.
Daksha was banished to Narada, and Narada obviously because he got a curse of Jambavati, that was the curse, was that curse?
What's that?
He
was that?
Daksha was banished to Narada, that he had to
Yeah, yeah, it couldn't stay in one place.
So Narada didn't take that as a curse, as a blessing. Did Daksha have to, did he get a reaction?
Yes. Yes, he got a reaction. I mean,
when he lost his head?
Yeah, well, after, not from that point he lost his head. He lost his head when he offended Lord Shiva. There was that whole other story. Well, that his whole life he was, I wouldn't say for his whole life, but he had this tendency to commit offenses. He committed offenses against Lord Shiva because of his attachment. Because of his attachment, when you get attached to something, of course, this is basic Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, then you lose your intelligence ultimately. You become angry, bewildered, and you lose your intelligence. Jayate Vishak Pum Sam Sangastapship, Bajayate Sambhat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krova Bajayate. We contemplate the sense objects. I think everyone knows that verse. You get attached to them, then you get lusty, then you get angry, right? And so, bewildered, etc. So, Daksha's attachment to things of this world, in spite of having so much knowledge, caused him to commit offenses against Vaishnavas. And, yeah, Narada Muni enjoyed his curse. Yeah. If a devotee is cursed, a devotee doesn't curse back. A pure devotee. Because there was one story in the Bhagavatam that was really interesting. There was one devotee, King Nimi, he cursed his guru back. His guru was Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni was aggravated because Nimi had performed a sacrifice without his permission. He didn't wait for his guru. And the guru cursed the disciple to become nir-deha, which means without a body. And the disciple cursed the guru, you should also die. And they both died. Nice. Nice story. But King Nimi, he was brought back to life by the demigods after sacrifice. And after he was brought back to life, he says, I don't want to be brought back to life. I want to go back to Godhead. And he went back to Godhead. That's King Nimi. Anyway, so yes, if a devotee, Prabhupada also said he was cursed by the parents of his disciples. And therefore he was cursed to travel all the time. Prabhupada gave that example. And Prabhupada said he's transferring the curse to his disciples. So there's that nice story. So, yeah. So if someone curses us, I mean not a Vaishnava, Vaishnavas don't curse, but if someone curses us.
They wouldn't have any practices
to curse our own. No, Prabhupada was teasing, he was joking. A pure devotee such as Prabhupada is immune from curses, bad planets, you know, bad astrology. I mean, there was an interesting book written by one of our devotees in the movement. It says, How to Ruin Your Life with Astrology. You read this book? We find so many people attached to astrology becomes like a prediction that actually makes things happen. You know, someone says, I see that you're going to marry someone else and divorce your husband. Okay. Yes, astrologer, I will do that. And in this book, this lady, very nice lady, gives examples of where those particular things happened, right? So one shouldn't trust these followers. One should live his life according to the direction of the Shastra. And we don't worry about bad planets. Prabhupada said with the tip of his toe, Krishna can kick away millions of Rahu planets. So let Rahu come. We don't mind.
But saying that Prabhupada was when he traveled, he was that Thursday.
Yes. Prabhupada did observe that because his spiritual master was here. Right. However, when he wanted to travel on Thursday, or had to travel on Thursday, Thursday afternoon, it wasn't just Thursday, he would put his bags out first before noon. So the start of the trip was Prabhupada observed that, but at the same time, at the end, he was saying, let's hear what the astrologers have to say, let's have a good laugh. So devotees shouldn't live their lives, you know, just taking advice from astrologers. Well, you can be aware, just like if the weather forecast is supposed to rain, it's not that you stay inside, you just get an umbrella. You understand? You can be aware of certain influences, but it's not that you change your life with such a thing. Especially, we don't let astrologers give marriage advice or advice about other things like that. You know, you use your common sense. So any questions? Yeah, you have a question.
In relationship to offenses, mm-hmm.
I think
probably doing something to avoid experience that we'll get
a treatment
from someone, they're on a talk with them more, or they're down for flies, or
yeah.
They give us
the
treatment.
Right.
And then you're rushing your brain thinking,
what
I don't feel like I did anything that could have offended them.
Right.
So do you think it's advisable to just carry
along normally and just be the normal self,
or do you think it's a good idea to approach them and ask,
it depends on who it is. It's an individual circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just take it as Christian. I've seen it happen. You know, people develop an attitude towards me. Hare Krishna, you know. It's painful. It's actually painful. I mean, just to be honest.
Well, they're hurting, not that. They're hurting.
Hedging.
Hurting.
Hurting.
Yeah. Because to treat someone like that, you've got to be feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Dissatisfied and unhappy and hurting.
Yeah, they definitely are hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely hurting. So what I say is, if someone does something to you or treats you badly or something like that, the point is, it's Krishna arranging it. So what I think is, it's not really between me and them anymore, it's between me and Krishna. And as far as their position, it's between them and Krishna. So it's not between me and them. You know, Krishna's arranged this for me for my own purification. And also, I have to maintain, if someone develops an attitude, I have to maintain compassion and love towards that person. That's the test. I think we've gone beyond our allotted time.
Special dispensation.
Concession. So, just one or two more questions, yeah.
What happens if you, like also with offenses, if one person gets offended or one person causes an offense and then the other person gets offended and then, like, before you know it, everyone's just offended with everyone? Like,
really?
Where do you even start to clean that up?
Chant Hare Krishna. Sounds pretty intense to me. I've never seen that happen. I mean, I think to stop that chain of action, one person has to act like a Vaishnava and not be offended. Understand, it's Krishna. Krishna's doing this. Why should I be offended? You, by what you do, or, you know, what is the reason? A real Vaishnava doesn't say, "I'm offended by you." I curse you, and they take the water cup, you know. Like you see in the Hindi movies, you know, they take the water and they throw it at you. I curse you to become a crocodile in a lake in your next life. I mean, pure Vaishnava doesn't act like that.
But what if they're not real Vaishnavas?
If they're not real Vaishnavas, then don't associate with them. Just preach them.
You're not a real Vaishnava.
Then become a real Vaishnava. So, I mean, what's the problem? You have the process. I mean, Krishna consciousness is not difficult. It's easy. Isn't it? If you just think of your goal in life, figure out what your goal is, and then you can do amazing things. If you have the goal to please Krishna, to be Krishna conscious, to please Prabhupada, please your spiritual master, and you focus on that, then everything else goes to the side and is seen as not so important. Whether it's the attachment to the tongue, attachment to the mind, attachment. We have so many attachments in this world. Then you can deal with those things, yeah.
Is it a good idea to, do some mass apology, before something?
Put it on the internet, the Google group, I apologize to everybody in the three worlds. Who I may have offended, in as many lifetimes I spent. No. Just be a Vaishnava.
Okay.
Just be a Vaishnava and loving towards everybody. Ajata Shatrava Shanta Shadava Sadabhushana. Don't consider anyone to be your enemy or be hateful towards anybody. If someone slaps you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. Alright? That's what Lord Jesus said. Or Haridas Thakur, if someone whips you in 22 marketplaces, you still love them. That's the test. That's really the test that each and every one of us is going to have to undergo. To not have any enemies. So I think we have to end now, right? All right? You're the boss. Not me. No. Don't curse me. I just want to enjoy life. Okay, I guess that's it. All glories is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Premananda. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Let's see.